1 Samuel 19, we're on lesson number 7 in our Bible lesson hour, when you can't just get over it. And I hope God's been helping you in each one of these. He's been helping me, and maybe different ones will speak to you a little bit more strongly. And so maybe this is one of them. And today's lesson is responding to ruptured relationships. Ruptured relationships. And I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, all of us can relate to that theme. A ruptured relationship. And what do we do about it? Well, let's see what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 19. We're going to learn from a very familiar example, but it might be new to you. If it is, let's all learn from it today. Verse number 9, "And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. And as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul," this is the king of Israel, "sought to smite David to the wall," even to the wall, "with his javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night." Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity again to be helped from your word. And I pray that we would put into practice the principles from your word that we'll learn today. And possibly right now, there's someone listening to the service that has a relationship that needs your help. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would guide us to fix the relationship or keep it to where it could be repaired someday. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most valuable gifts that God has given all of us is the gift of friendship. Gift of friendship. I can think of different friends that God has brought into my life down through the years. But unless you stay in the same community your entire life, there's a good opportunity that some of the friends that you had, let's say in your adolescent years, in your preteen years, maybe you do not have them, you don't have them in your life today. And maybe you don't have a connection with them. And I guess possibly we would have at arm's length connection with some of our friends that we had as a childhood because of social media. Maybe that has allowed you to reconnect with some of your friends that you used to hang around with, you know, when you were a young boy or a young girl. And now, of course, you're spread out all over the world. And here in Vancouver, where I rarely meet someone from Vancouver. Now we have some. We have some that are younger that were born here. But I mean mainly adults that I'm referring to. That I was born here in British Columbia, and I've stayed in British Columbia my entire life. There's fewer and fewer of that. I can remember a friend that I had growing up. His name is Jason Tilley, and we were joined at the hip, so to speak. We were sports fanatics. We loved to play football at recess every day, and I think we were pretty good at it, too. No, I'm just kidding. We loved to play football together. We loved to try to be on each other's team. And you know what? He still lives in that same area of Chattanooga, Tennessee that we grew up in. And I haven't lived in that area since 1983. And yes, Facebook has kept, we connected there, but we don't really communicate a whole lot. But anyway, that's a friendship that isn't ruptured, but it's a friendship that is really no longer. And that's kind of how life is, in a sense, that we go through cycles of friendships. And even within churches, it's rare to find someone who's been in the same church for, you know, more than 20 years. That would be very hard to do at Anchor Baptist because we haven't been around for 20 years. But you know what I'm saying. And it's okay. That's not a negative statement. And but that's not the lesson that is being covered this morning. Those things happen because people move away and we change maybe professions or whatever. But here we're talking about today about relationships that have broken up, relationships that are ruptured. And you think about something that maybe a hose that ruptures, right? And when a hose is not ruptured, water can go through that hose. I'm thinking of maybe a hose that you use on your outdoor hose for washing your car or sprinkling the garden or whatever. But when that hose ruptures, water is no longer going in the same direction. It's under control. It's going and spraying everywhere. Well, that's kind of what happens in our relationships sometimes, and that's what we learn from King Saul and David. So you're in 1 Samuel 19. Turn back to 1 Samuel 16, and let's look at a verse here and continue on. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 16 says, "Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." Well, what happens here is they find a harp player, okay? Boy, don't you love to listen to a harp? Have you ever actually been in a place where there was a genuine harp, and could hear that played? Boy, they are a beautiful instrument. Well, I don't know if King David's harp was as big as some of the harps that I've seen in maybe church orchestras or whatnot, but David played the harp. Now, this was not David the warrior yet. This wasn't David necessarily the king yet. This was David the shepherd boy, and David would play the harp there and for the king. And so the relationship between King Saul and David started off just fine. It was a wonderful relationship. And in fact, everything was going great, and everything was working out well. And in fact, David would become the armor bearer of King Saul and would play the harp for King Saul. And in fact, he loved David. David was ministering to him. David was helping him. They had a wonderful relationship until there would come a day where David would go down to the battle. You remember what happened. David would survey the situation, and he saw this big old ugly 9-foot fella out there in the valley. He was cursing the God of heaven, and no one was doing anything about it. And David said, "Is there not a cause?" And of course, that's the story of David getting the 5 smooth stones, and he had a slingshot, and he had 1 for Goliath and 4 more for his brothers in case they were to show up, but he only needed 1, and it sunk in Goliath's head, and the giant came tumbling down. And that happened. And so when that happened, you know what happened? They started writing songs about David. Remember that? And the song said that David was, Saul had slain his thousands. Well, that's pretty good. A thousand. But David is tens of thousands. Well, word got back to Saul. In fact, you could read that. Turn over to 1 Samuel 18:7 and just read that. I won't read it, but I would like you to go ahead and just turn over there, and you can just see right from the Bible where it says that. And so, unfortunately, Saul is like many of us today. We can get jealous so quickly, can't we? You know? What was important? Was it important that Goliath was dead or that Saul killed him? Saul didn't kill him, but what I'm saying is it really didn't matter who killed him. But because that song, now David didn't write that song. You know, David, I mean, yes, he was the sweet psalmist of Israel, but this wasn't one that he wrote. He wrote many others. But here we find the next time that they are together, we find Saul looking at David as a dartboard, only a javelin board. And he tries to pin David to the wall. He wasn't trying to scare him. He wasn't trying to hurt him. He was trying to kill him. Here's someone who helped him tremendously many times in his life. And because this happened, Saul now wants to kill him. David did nothing to attack Saul. David never spoke critically of Saul. We'll talk about that. David was never disloyal. David was simply doing what he felt, what God wanted him to do to help. But boy, I tell you what, jealousy came in and it ruptured the relationship. And it affected it dramatically. And so now David is on the run, and that relationship is broken. And it's in need of great repair. And unfortunately, in Saul's lifetime, it will never be repaired. But it's amazing, and we'll talk about it, it's amazing what David ends up doing, and we'll learn from his lesson, hopefully. You know, as you think about this broken relationship, they weren't related necessarily. Saul did give David his his daughter to marry, Michael. But sometimes even in our day, families have ruptured relationships. Kind of like if there's going to be a family reunion and if there's a ruptured relationship within the family, if Uncle Tom is going to be there, whoever that is, but if Uncle Tom is coming, then, you know, Uncle Dave isn't going to come because he can't stand Uncle Tom. I don't know. Maybe you could relate to that. Maybe in your family, maybe in your situation of life, there is some ruptured relationship. By the way, this is not just happening in the world. You know, unfortunately, there are some born-again Christians who have seriously ruptured relationships within their own family. And I'm not talking about necessarily husband and wife. Maybe that's a different scenario, but it is a ruptured relationship. But I'm talking about, you know, families that the brother and the sister, they know the Lord, but they won't even speak to each other. Now, do you think that pleases the Lord? No, it doesn't. That's a ruptured relationship that needs to be responded to. And many times it never gets responded to, and the kingdom of God is affected by it. And it ought not be that way. So we're going to learn, hopefully, today a little bit more about this. So number one, if you have your book, if you're taking notes, number one, and we went a little bit longer there on the intro, but we'll see how the Lord leads. The roots, we're back to roots again. Amen. We're learning a lot about roots these days. The roots of ruptured relationships. So how does a ruptured relationship happen? How does a marriage end in divorce? Now, it's not God's intention, by the way, but how does that happen? How does a church member get to the point where they won't speak to another church member? And that ought not be the case either. But let's see. What are some things that bring these things about? Letter A, broken by sin. What was the sin in Saul's life that caused the relationship with David to be ruptured? We mentioned it a minute ago. It starts with a J, remember? Jealousy. All right? Jealousy. That was the sin in Saul's life that absolutely destroyed their relationship. When David was exalted to a higher level by the women in song there, Saul couldn't handle it, and jealousy came up in his life. You read that a moment ago, 1 Samuel 18, verse 8, and it says there that Saul was very wroth. That word wroth has to do with anger. And so again, it should have been a time of celebrating. Goliath is dead. It should have been a time of rejoicing. It should have been a time of exuberance that, wow, this big old ugly 9-foot guy, his head is right here. That's what David did. Remember? Cut off Goliath's head. If you say the Bible is boring, you've never read it. All right? Just kind of an aside there. And this should have been a time, again, of bringing everyone together and giving God the glory. But you know what? Unfortunately, Saul was in love with Saul. And when Saul didn't get the praise, you know, he crossed his arms and he said, I got to do something. And jealousy came in, and it was a great hindrance, and so much of a hindrance to the relationship. Proverbs 27 and verse 4. Proverbs 27 and verse 4, God's word tells us, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Think about that. You can't stand envy. If you're allowing envy into your life, I want to challenge you right now. It's time to deal with it and get it out of there because it'll run you over. It'll run me over. Jealousy inhabited Saul's mind and his spirit, and sin was a root of this ruptured relationship. Number two, broken by a stand. Broken by a stand. Now, We've been going through the book of Acts, and we'll continue that, and we'll look more into this later on. But in Acts 15, we haven't got to that chapter yet. We're coming. There is a great confrontation, in Acts 15 between Paul and Barnabas. Now, Paul and Barnabas had a strong relationship. But even Paul and Barnabas came to a place in the relationship where I believe that if we look at it carefully, we won't look at it extensively right now, but both of them responded incorrectly. What happened? Well, unfortunately, there was a man who was on their first journey, which we are covering right now at Anchor Baptist Church, and his name was John Mark. And somehow, we don't really know why, but in the middle of the journey, John Mark says, I can't do this anymore. And he basically quits on the journey. Now, you know, quitters never win and winners never quit. Never a good thing to quit on the Lord. It's never, if you're serving the Lord, don't stop. You might slow down. You might take a few steps back. We all have problems. I'm just saying that's never good, and that's not a good thing. But unfortunately, Paul and Barnabas responded differently. So they begin to prepare for missionary journey number two. And when they do that, Barnabas says, okay, well, John Mark's over here, and we'll use him again. And apparently he was being made available, or he was available once again. Well, the Apostle Paul said, no. No. He was of the ilk, if you bite me once, it's over. Now, again, not really the best response. Look at Acts 15, if you would, quickly. Acts 15, verse 39. Again, I would submit to you this morning that neither Barnabas nor Paul were completely right in this event. The Bible says in verse 39 of Acts 15, the contention was so sharp between them. We're about to have a ruptured relationship. And it's between two godly men. I'm going to say something, and I want God to be glorified in it. And I want God to get victory in it. You know what? There are pastors that will not speak to each other. Hello? There are pastors that will not speak to each other. I'm talking about they believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They believe that God is holy. They believe that salvation is by grace through faith. They believe in all the fundamentals of the faith and the B-A-P-T-I-S-T-S. But they won't speak to each other. Because something happened 15 years ago. Because something happened over here, over there, and the relationship is ruptured. And again, all that is affected by that, think about this, all that is affected by that is the cause of Christ. May it not be so anymore. And I know I'm not necessarily preaching to any pastors right now, but I is one. I know that's not. I'm preaching to me right now. And so if it can happen to Paul and Barnabas, it can happen in 2021. And so what happened? They departed asunder. They said, if that's okay, if you're going to take John Mark, I'm not going with you. Wow. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul took Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. Wow. By the way, we won't turn to it, but in 2 Timothy 4:11, it tells us that John Mark later joined Paul as an encourager in his ministry. Paul got right. Barnabas got right. John Mark got right. So sometimes ruptured relationships are broken by a stand, and I would have to say that in this case, the stand was not merited or it wasn't administered properly. But in 1 Peter 4, there's a stand that is talked about regarding truth. Now that's a different kettle of fish. And sometimes when you and I stand for truth, our friends aren't going to understand our friends. Now, I say friends, quote unquote. The Bible says in verse 3 of 1 Peter 4, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in, and he lists a whole bunch of things that we walked in before we got saved. Verse 4, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them. That's a great verse, by the way, to underline. That ye run not with them. And have you ever had somebody talk like that? Well, I don't run with them anymore. You know, that's Bible. Well, I can't run with them anymore. It's not talking about a jogging club. What it means is that because of the grace of God and the salvation that God has given me, I can't be close to this person anymore. I got to take a stand. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The friends I used to have, I don't have them anymore. Why? There's been a great change since I've been born again. And so sometimes a relationship is ruptured because of a stand, a biblical stand. And it needs to be ruptured because we don't want to be unequally yoked together. 2 Corinthians 6:17, I believe. So if you had to break a relationship, to honor the Lord, don't look back. By the way, let me put a parenthesis on that. Just because your husband or wife is not saved, it doesn't give you the authority to divorce them. So don't be confused right now. The relationship between husband and wife is not to be severed, even if they are not a believer. And again, that's another message for another time. But I just want to make sure, because we've been talking about the marriage relationship. So it can be broken by sin. It can be broken by a stand. But then this is kind of what we were alluding to now, broken by sanctification. You see, a friendship is the strongest when there's common ground. We had a handful of men praying here together on common ground. None of us men that prayed here this morning are perfect men. We have so much more to learn from the Lord. But I will say this, we had common ground. What was the common ground? We all want God's will to be done. We all want God's gospel to go forth. We all want to please Him. Again, we're sinners. I'm not lifting up the men that were here, or if you were praying with us from home this morning, men, thank you. I'm not lifting anybody. I'm just saying there is something about a friendship that is going to be strong. It's because there's common grounds that we all have. So what happens when we get closer to the Lord, some relationships, we're just kind of reemphasizing, well, I guess what I just said, and you can jot down that reference, 2 Corinthians 6, 14-18, for time's sake. I'll let you maybe read that later in the week. But that's where it talks about we need to come out from among them. And so sometimes a relationship is broken by sanctification. It's possible that this was what happened in Genesis chapter 13 with Abraham and Lot. You remember how they finally had to separate? There's just not enough territory here for our cows. There's just not. And we see right away, Abraham continues to grow, live by faith. And what does Lot do? Remember, we just talked about it recently. He goes right over to Sodom, pitches his tent towards Sodom, and a mess. Genesis 13, 8-11 is the text for that. So, roots of ruptured relationships. Could be by sin, could be by stand, and it could be by sanctification. So it looks like there's a negative, kind of, and two positives within that. But let God help you to recognize where did the rupture begin? And if you're the problem, deal with it. If I'm the problem, let's repent of it. Confess it, forsake it, 1 John 1:9. Don't let it keep going. Number two. So, what is the response to ruptured relationships? When a relationship is falling apart and we feel there is nowhere to turn, we're disappointed, we're frustrated, what can we do, what should we do? All right? I hope this helps you. Letter A. I did it again. Number A. Letter A. I'm consistent at least. Remember the good. Remember the good. When a relationship is breaking or when a relationship is ruptured, there's hurt, there's confusion, there's pain. And by the way, that's inevitable, that's real, it happens. By the way, it happens in even a relationship that isn't completely ruptured. There's difficulties that come to every relationship. And what ends up happening is we never remember the good. We can only think about what's happening right now because it's in our face. But we must remember the good. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Saul and David's relationship was fractured. It was ruptured. But again, David met his best friend because of Saul. Think of that, remember? Who was David's best friend that we read of in the Bible, other than his wife? But I mean, you know, in a sense, a best, another male friend that he had in his life, Jonathan. Who's Jonathan? Again, some of you might be new to God's Word. Jonathan is the son of Saul. And that relationship would flourish, and that relationship would grow, and they would help one another and grow closer together. And so again, David could have just, you know, again, there were times, and we'll look at it, where David could have tried to convince Jonathan to take his side. I'm going to go ahead and give you letter B. Don't force others to take your side. Don't force others to take your side. Oh my, this is an example that can happen in a family. Try to take sides. This can happen in a workplace. Huh? Right? You get 4, 5, 10, 15 people working together. And you know, something happens, and so then we've got this team and this team, and we're gonna fight it out. That's not gonna accomplish anything. But I love the testimony of David all the way through this, that David continues to be honoring to the authority and continuing to be honoring to the king. In this case, it was King Saul who was wrong, wrong, wrong. There was nothing right about throwing a javelin at David. So don't force others. So focus, remember the good, letter A. And by the way, focusing on the good is not just for a ruptured relationship. That's a good thing to do when you have a healthy relationship. You know what it'll do? It'll help you to not have a ruptured relationship. Because a bad thing can happen. Don't focus on that. Deal with it, fix it, repair it, confess it, whatever it is, and then keep focusing on the good. Don't let others force others to take your side. Never do we see David putting Jonathan in a position where Jonathan had to choose between his dad and David. Proverbs chapter 16 and 28 tells us that a forward man soweth strife. Look at this one. And a whisperer separateth friends. Don't be a whisperer. Now, you're supposed to have an inside voice. That's not what this is talking about. I don't have an inside voice. I wasn't born with one. So, but you've got to be careful. That's not what this is talking about, the volume. Don't force others to take your side. Well, you know what? You know what's natural? We all want sympathy. If there's a ruptured relationship, we want someone to call us up, or I guess we don't really call anybody anymore. We text everybody or we email everybody. Then we'd still call people. But we want someone to pat us on the back and say, "Oh, you're right, they're wrong." Remember, Paul and Barnabas, I personally think they were both wrong in how they went at it. So we love sympathy, don't we? We love for people to tell us that we're in the right and the other person is in the wrong. So don't force up people to take your side. Letter C. Be respectful. If a relationship is ruptured, be respectful. Did Saul deserve the behavior of David, which was respectful? Did he deserve it? Absolutely not. Not Saul, but the position did deserve it. What was the position? King. God's man. Yes. Even though he was wrong, he was still God's man. He was selfish, jealous, obsessed with killing David, but he was still the king. 1 Samuel 26, turn over there quickly. This is what I alluded to a moment ago. 1 Samuel 26, David is presented with an amazing opportunity to fix this ruptured relationship once and for all, or so we think. 1 Samuel 26, verse 7. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. So they're all sleeping. And here comes David and Abishai upon them. David's on the run. He's hunted right now. And so these are the hunters. And they're all sound asleep. The bolster's down in the ground. It's not ready to use, is the way I look at that, that his spear is in the earth. And so it looks like, wow, this is a great opportunity to deal with Saul. That's what Abishai thought. David then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. I mean, really, all he needed to do was take his sword, pick it up, and boom, and that's it. They would no longer. And by the way, David had already been anointed king. It just wasn't time yet. Isn't it amazing how we get ahead of God? Abishai says in verse 8, now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. I only need one shot, and he's done. David said unto Abishai, destroy him not. No, 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 Abishai. Who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David was not afraid of Saul. He loved Saul. David realized God put Saul on the throne, and it wasn't David's job to take him off of the throne. Be respectful. Hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Letter D. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you hear. Abishai was right there in David's ear. Hey, David. You just tilt your head one way or the other, and I'll do it. Just give me the signal. But this was the God-ordained authority. What's the take-home truth, as Brother Bernie used to say? Don't listen to people that try to get you to go against the God-given authority in your life. If you're at home right now, I don't care if you're 35 years old and you're at home living under the roof of your parents, they are the divine authority in your life. I'm being a little bit facetious about that age. But don't let people yap about the divine authority that God's put into your life. And the Bible says in Psalm 1:1, and boy, I tell you, Psalm 1:1 is really emphasized right now in the ministry of Anchor Baptist Church. It's mentioned every Sunday afternoon at Patch Club. It's mentioned every Friday night at RU. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Anyone who tries to get you to turn against a God-ordained authority in your life isn't someone you want to listen to. You know, sometimes as teenagers, we have other teenagers in our life. Maybe they're not Christians. Maybe they're our classmates in the public school, or maybe they're in the neighborhood, and they say, oh, you don't need to listen to your parents. They don't know what they're talking about. Don't listen to that. Be like the gingerbread man. You know what the gingerbread man does? He runs as fast as he can away from the fox. Be like the gingerbread man and run away from that stuff. Don't listen to everything you hear. This is what Absalom attempted to do, stealing the heart of the people away from his father David later on. And instead of submitting to authority, Absalom was encouraging rebellion.
Well, you know, unfortunately, the king can't see you, but I sure can meet every need you have. That's the Turner translation. That's in 2 Samuel 15. Letter E. You must hasten, make your relationship with Christ your focus. A relationship is ruptured. Make sure your relationship with Christ is strong.
No relationship on earth should we be more attached to than our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Think about that. This relationship needs to be number one. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. God was able to place David on the throne in his own time and in his own way, and that would happen. God did not need David's help. And by the way, God doesn't need my help or your help either. It's just a miracle that God lets us do anything for his in his name. And praise him for it. And likewise, no one can keep you from the will of God except you. You say, but you don't understand this and this. No, you don't focus on this and this. You focus on him. And you'll stay in the will of God no matter what relationships rupture down here. All right, we've got a motor. Number three, restoring ruptured relationships. Restoring. What are the steps toward taking reconciliation? And I hope that is the goal. If you're in the middle of something right now that's ruptured, I hope your goal is to get a patch kit out and put it over that hole on the hose and glue it up or whatever, and let's fix it up so that it can be used appropriately. Letter A, seek the possibility of restoration. Romans 12:18 has been mentioned in recent days as well. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Work toward reconciliation if someone has hurt you. Don't sit back in your easy chair and cross your arms and say, when they come to me, no. You go to God, seek his timing, but you be the aggressor. I'm saying to the Lord, I'm not saying aggressor, you know, physically or whatever. I'm saying you move forward in making this thing get reconciled with the Lord's help. Think about, this is the example I was going to give you earlier. Remember, Saul was trying to kill David. And as far as we can see, that relationship would never be the same. But after he died, David wanted to fix the relationship through his seed, through Saul's family. So Saul is dead and Jonathan have died in battle. And in 2 Samuel chapter number 9, the Bible tells us that David sought out one of the sons of Jonathan, which would be the grandson of Saul, whose name was Mephibosheth. Try to say that quickly 10 times and spell it properly as well. But he found him in 2 Samuel 9, 6 and 7. And basically, David tells Mephibosheth, you're going to eat at my table. He was crippled because he had been dropped as a child in battle, fleeing, and he was dropped and he was crippled. And David says in verse 7, he said, fear not, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, his grandpa. What a testimony of the grace of God that David would say to Mephibosheth, because of Jonathan and Saul, you're going to dine at my table and I'm restoring the land. Seek the possibility of restoration. Letter B, stay on the path of reconciliation. Treating someone who has hurt us with an attitude of mercy and restoration isn't easy. I'm not saying it will be. The easiest way out is what? Boom, end it right there. It's done. Just end it. That's the easy way out. Pride says, I don't want to deal with this. But the Bible says, pursue peace. It's
It's amazing how sometimes our attitude in the Bible contradicts. Which one are you going to follow? That's the key, isn't it? 1 Peter 3:11 says, "Let him eschew evil and do good. Seek peace and ensue it." Ephesians 4:3, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Endeavoring takes work. Stay on the path of reconciliation. God would call David a man after his own heart, by the way. Acts 13:22, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." David obviously failed many times. We've read about those failures in the Bible as well. Yet one of the ways David showed that his heart was inclined toward God was he sought restoration with his enemies. I believe it's a beautiful example for us to follow. I wonder today, what relationship right now is ruptured in your circle? It's amazing how the devil seeks to divide. I'm praying about something right now, actually. It involves the ministry of Anchor Baptist Church. You don't need details, but I'm just praying. Because the devil is seeking to divide. And when the devil divides, it makes it that much easier to devour. So you have a ruptured relationship. What are you going to do? Just leave it how it is? I tell you what, that's the worst thing you can do. You need to seek God's help, number one. Stay on the path. Seek peace. Pray for peace. You say, I'm kind of on the outside looking in of a ruptured relationship, but I know about one, and I'm kind of on the outside looking in. What do? Pray, pray, pray. Make sure you don't contribute to it. You contribute to it being brought back together. When you can't just get over it, this is a powerful truth. It's not this truth is all over the churches, is all over church. I've seen it so many times, but I've also seen it when we allow God to come in and put it back together. Let's seek that today. Let's seek a restored, ruptured relationship.